Are you seeking biblical truth that applies to today's moral quandaries? Do you question the veracity of your pastor? What about your favorite talk show host? Are you starving for someone who cares about today's burning issues who actively pursues solutions to them? If you're like me, you've even tried to engage your pastor into involvement, but he's shied away from being political or controversial. For far too long, today's Christians have wasted time in churches that don't or won't take a biblical stand. They look to men for direction and vision rather than searching God's Word for what He would have us to do. I'm Leslie Hanks, Vice President of Colorado Right to Life, and sadly, I spent far too many years seeking a pastor who cared about preborn babies and their right to life. Now that I attend Denver Bible Church, I feel like I've come home. Pastor Enyart is a true friend of the pro-life movement. His program, Bob Enyart Live, keeps me informed of today's pressing issues and conveys the most up-to-date information from a biblical perspective. He stands for the protection of all innocent life in America. Bob was a real hero fighting for Terri Schiavo. If you care about life, God's Word, and our country, I know you're going to love Bob Enyart Live. Join me in coming home to a place where God's truths are proudly proclaimed and embraced. Tune in for a fun shot of reality that you can always use to make a difference. Won't you help me support Bob Enyart Live financially and prayerfully? If you're in Denver, we welcome you to Denver Bible Church. If you're not, sign up for the weekly sermons and Bible study series. Check out kgov.com for all of the materials or call 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. And thank you.
Warning, is truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. It's Friday, so we'll do the news. Well, there's so much serious news to do. Antonin Scalia comes out of the closet supporting orgies, among other perverse behaviors. And he is one of the heroes of the conservative Christian movement, right? Antonin Scalia on the U.S. Supreme Court. So that's important. Two more women have died from a morning after pill. But first, let's do some of this news. It's just bizarre. Danny Sorter of Des Moines, Iowa, was sound asleep when a stolen car smashed into his house. Now, police were chasing the car, and it went down an alley, and it rammed into his home. He looked out. Danny looked out to see flashing lights, drawn guns, in a crumpled car that looked a lot like his sister's. So he says, it was kind of a weird deal. My sister's car hitting my house, he told the Des Moines Register. He called his sister Tracy, who lives nearby, and he said, hey, Trace, your car just hit my house. And she had been asleep and was unaware even that her car had been stolen. Police arrested Rodney Wessel, 36, for the car theft, and they had been chasing him. They noticed something was awry, and good for the cops, right? Good for the cops going after a bad guy. And the brother said, luckily no one got hurt any faster, and he would have taken out my bedroom. Now, that's funny, except he shouldn't have said lucky, because there's no such thing as lucky, right? We should always be biblical. We should read, for example, what the Lord says and have our conversation fashioned after Jesus. So he should have said, by chance, no one got hurt. Because remember what Jesus said with the story of the Good Samaritan, the guy got beat up by thugs. And the Lord said, by chance, a priest wandered by, a Levite. So there's no such thing as luck, but you should say, to be biblically correct, you should say, by chance, no one got hurt, but this thing could have taken out my bedroom. Now we go to Texas, outside of San Antonio. Talk about a wild night. As best I can understand, we have flying cows crashed onto a highway. Illegal aliens almost run over cops. Two police cars went up in flames, and one cow died. Here's what happened, the best I can figure it out. First off, a cattle trailer was speeding down the highway, and its rear gate broke loose. Then you could almost envision the series of events that leads to the rest of it. So the cows come flying out of the trailer and land on the highway. Okay, now, Sergeant Maureen Watson said it's hard to believe, it's bizarre. The gate of the cattle trailer came open, and the cows, for lack of a better phrase, spilled out onto the interstate. It was chaotic. Okay, now, several cars hit some of the cows. One cow died. Troopers called for backup. And that's when one officer was nearly run down by a speeding truck carrying two illegal immigrants. Now, I don't know if he just noticed them in the back of the truck when they sped by or what, or if he just figured there's something suspicious about this truck that's almost running me down. So anyway, the police end up looking for, and this is all reported by WOAI in San Antonio, Texas. So the police were looking for that truck and those illegal immigrants, and the cops, they came to the scene, the cows, they parked their cars in the grass to start a foot chase. Now, apparently the truck pulled off the road or something. So they started a foot chase, but the grass ignited. Must have been from the tailpipe of one of the cop cars. And the fire engulfed the two police cars, including the one which was a brand new 2006 Crown Victoria. So the sergeant goes on, well, another officer arrived on the scene and alerted his coworkers that there was a fire. The fire destroyed everything inside the vehicles, including tens of thousands of dollars worth of police equipment designed specifically for patrol cars. So you got a barbecue and milkshakes. The sergeant says you start off with a bizarre accident with these cows spilled out onto the interstate. That leads to other accidents. That leads to a car chase. That leads to a foot chase. And then our police cars burn down. I thought things like this only happened in Prospect Park, New Jersey. I remember our street. We used to play street hockey, ice hockey, on the street in front of my house. On the street. Now, and I did say ice hockey, right? Because we played street hockey, but our street was so level that, and it was one block, that sometimes it would freeze solid. And we would play ice hockey on the street. And so one day, it was just too bizarre. Prospect Park is about a half mile square, about 8,000 people. And we had it was frozen solid, and Coca-Cola truck or a 7-Up truck, I forget, was going by our house slow and just slid all the way and slid into a bus, like an RTD bus, a public bus. So here's two big vehicles. They crashed, each going 10 miles an hour. So then this happened when I was young. One or two more cars crashed into those vehicles. So the Prospect Park Police Department came to the scene. And we had two cars, actually, two cop cars, until that day. After that, well, the cop cars, as I recall, crashed also. It was a mess. After that, we rented a police service from nearby Paterson, New Jersey. We actually had one of our police officers shoot himself in the foot. Do you remember that, Connie, Sharon? You remember that? I remember one time my friend and I were camping out in his backyard. Carl Rosado. He lived just a block from us. And it was about 2 in the morning. We got bored. We're in tents. And we thought we should watch TV. But how do you have, you don't have a TV. And they didn't make tiny little TVs, portable, that I remember. So we went to my house and got one of our TVs, which was a big TV. A big TV. And we're as quiet as could be, carrying it out of my house. And we didn't want to go around the whole block, because the TV was heavy. So we cut through our neighbor's yard, 2 in the morning. We're coming out of our neighbor's bushes into the street, and we're crossing the street, and there's a Prospect Park police car coming up, his lights right on us. And we carried the TV across. We didn't stop, and neither did he. He just let us go. So we brought the TV to the Rosado's house, and we watched I don't know what we watched at 2 in the morning. There was no satellite back then, no cable TV that I recall. So anyway, now the two Mexican immigrants, illegal immigrants, ages 21 and 23, are in custody for entering the United States unlawfully and evading arrest. And for now, this town is Seguin, Texas. Seguin now has two temporary police cars. Okay. So weird things are going on around the country. Now, this is tragic. In California, we reported the shooting at the Denny's in Southern California. Now there have been three. Three separate shootings, unrelated, at three Denny's restaurants, all in Southern California, in the last few days. In the last 3 days. That's bizarre. That is bizarre. These are unrelated stories, that is, regarding Denny's, except for the part that they're crimes, and we're in a crime epidemic in America. So, bizarre happening in California. And by the way, happy St. Paddy's Day. Happy St. Paddy's Day, whatever that's all about. Here in Denver, they have the second largest St. Paddy's Day parade in the country. That's what they say. But I want to tell you how we exploited this parade back in 1999. That's the year the Wall Street Journal published the article that said that Bill Clinton, in fact, raped Juanita Broderick, a campaign volunteer, back when he was running for governor of Arkansas. And they published this article, and they interviewed Juanita Broderick and the nurse, Norma Rogers, who found Juanita sobbing and her face swollen and her lip was twice its size and bit. And they published this, and with the corroborating evidence, it was overwhelming that the evidence is overwhelming that Clinton raped Juanita Broderick. So the mainstream media couldn't care less. Dateline NBC did a story on it, and they actually held the story for months. They weren't going to publish it, and the pressure built. So they published it. The evidence was overwhelming, and then they just dropped it, never to mention it again. And most of the media never mentioned it, even though the evidence is overwhelming that Bill Clinton is a rapist. So we started our Clinton rapist protest. We've gone to 145 cities now across America, from Martha's Vineyard, New York City, San Diego, all the way to Auckland, New Zealand. Wherever Bill Clinton was going to go, we'd go. We had people in scores of cities doing protests at courthouses on major intersections. We had big banners that had Clinton's face and the word rapist. And we gave out 100,000 flyers, our Clinton rapist flyers. By the way, you could read all that on our website. You could go to kgov.com, but more easily go to shadowgov, shadowgov.com. Click on Clinton rapist, and it's all there. It's fascinating, really. Well, anyway, the St. Paddy's Day parade, that article came out, was it in January or February? And so shortly after, March, middle of March, St. Paddy's Day parade. So we looked around the Bob and Ear Live office for somebody who could pass for an Irish guy. So we found one guy sitting behind a desk. His last name was McBurney, Douglas McBurney. So Doug said, I'll call. I'll get us in a parade. So we got a spot in the parade, and we had about 70 people in the parade, and we only had one purpose. We weren't handing out beer or candies, or we had our banners that said Clinton rapist, and huge banners that said Clinton raped Juanita. And we all had our black T-shirts, shadowgov.com, and we brought extra T-shirts with us. So 70 of us start marching, and we're asking people, we're handing out a couple thousand flyers, and we're asking people to join us in outrage that Clinton raped Juanita Broderick, and we had dozens of people join us. By the time the parade ended, we had 100 people, which, if we were liberals, a stunt like that would have made national news. But the Denver Post was there, the Rocky Mountain News, Channel 2, 4, 7, 9. You think they covered it? They didn't cover it. Hardly. I mean, during those protests, there were probably 30 or 40 TV reports and newspaper articles about the protest. But for the most part, they ignored it. Anyway, Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick. He's a rapist. And liberals don't care. They like him for his ideology. And whether he kills children or rapes women, it's irrelevant. Hillary will help set back women centuries because of the, what do they call it, executive privilege? What does executive privilege mean? If you're a liberal in power, you can sexually harass, you can sexually assault, and you can even rape women with impunity because all the liberals will look the other way and approve of you because you're a liberal. So that's executive privilege for a Democrat in the White House. All right, so what else on this Friday? Well, yesterday we had Joe Scott and other friends of ours down at the Colorado Capitol in Denver to testify to the Senate about this morning after pill, what they call emergency contraception, which actually kills an unborn child. If the mother's egg has been fertilized, then it kills that brand new living human being. And so we were there to testify against this. And now today, Reuters is reporting today, Friday, March 17th, that according to the U.S. government, two more women have died from RU486. RU486. 86. Isn't that a term for killing something? Just 86 it? If you forget the name of this pill, just remember, are you 486ing people? Are you 486ing babies? And if you are, you probably support this pill, but that also means that you don't know right from wrong. And you need to ask God to help you understand truth and morality. Okay, so anyway, this tragedy, two more deaths have been reported after women took the abortion pill known as RU486 or Mifeprex. You know, the problem with these pills is not that they're dangerous. That's an additional problem. That's a side problem. They are dangerous. But our government gets obsessed with killing the innocent. It's like, remember the Dalcon shield, the IUD, that women, so many women were harmed so terribly by the Dalcon shield. There's huge, $100 million lawsuits settled. And that would prevent this tiny embryo coming down the fallopian tube from implanting in the uterus. And so it performed a spontaneous abortion. So in this case, too, the Colorado Senate, they want young women to be able to get RU486. And normally, such a potent drug, you'd have to talk to a doctor for any potent drug. But they don't want that. They just want young women to go into a drugstore and buy this stuff. And that shows what? Well, if you don't care that you're intentionally killing babies, how much can you really care about women? So if you don't care that you're killing babies, how much can you care that breast cancer has skyrocketed with 50 million abortions performed in America? And breast cancer, the epidemic has now gone to young women, where young women now are part of the breast cancer epidemic because they get abortions starting when they're 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. And as soon as a woman becomes pregnant, her breast begins to change so that she can produce milk for her baby. And then the abortion unnaturally stops the process and it leaves these cells in her mammary glands that were differentiating. It leaves them stuck halfway between one state and another. And that's where breast cancer has been documented to start. And dozens of studies have been done by universities in America and Europe. And they've shown significant increase in breast cancer for women who've had abortions. And you know what? NARAL, now Planned Parenthood, the Democrats, say, no, it's not true. You see, they're politically motivated. They're not objective. And these studies were conducted by universities that were pro-abortion. So it can't be that the studies were designed to say abortion is dangerous. But once that all happened, then they came out with other studies saying, oh, no, 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 there's no connection. And if you want to know the truth, go to abortionbreastcancer.com. It's the ABCs of the deadly unintended consequences of killing the innocent. ABC, abortionbreastcancer.com. All right. So I saved the best for last. Or is it the worst for last? You have to decide. It's about Antonin Scalia, a man that I despise and a man that millions of Christians have been taught is a hero and is part of the hope for America. He's part of the hope for restoring America. If only we had more justices like Antonin Scalia. Well, this report comes to you. I got it here from Boston.com. It's an AP story, the Associated Press. It's been carried by the New York Times. And Scalia spoke to the New England School of Law. And if you're driving, you should already have your seatbelt on, right? So if you're parked, put your seatbelt on anyway, because this is painful. This is especially painful. And the fact that our national Christian leaders have made a moral relativist like Antonin Scalia out to be our hero, and that our national Christian ministries have bought into situational ethics, and they approve of judges who will intentionally kill the innocent, and they say, because our loyalty is to the process. And we say, shouldn't your loyalty be to God and to thou shalt not murder? Oh, no, 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 no. We're Christians. We support separation of church and state. We believe that the loyalty of any judge should be to the process. And if the judge is asked, is it legal to kill a Jew? He should look at the law. And if the law says you can kill a Jew, the judge should rule, kill a Jew. And if a judge is asked, can you perform a late-term abortion? Can you do a partial birth abortion? The judge should ignore the fact that there is a God, ignore that God said do not murder. The judge should look at the process, and if the process says you kill the baby, then the judge should rule, go ahead and kill the baby. And those are the judges that we at Focus on the Family admire. Those are the judges like John Roberts and Samuel Alito and Antonin Scalia that we believe are the fruit of our labor that will help to restore America. Because we haven't really admitted this in the last 20 years, but we're into separation of church and state that goes so far beyond anything Thomas Jefferson ever dreamed of when he wrote those words. And while the liberals are trying to get us to take In God We Trust off our currency, and they don't want us to pray at our legislatures, we have a deeper goal. We want every public official in the land to utterly ignore God when they perform their public actions. And we want them to forget that God ever said, do not murder. And we want them to be faithful to the process because we are. And so here's what U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia said. He was railing against, now that's the wording from the Associated Press reporter, he was railing against the concept of the judge moralist. In other words, a judge who knows right from wrong, saying judges are no more qualified than Joe Sixpack to decide moral questions, such as abortion or homosexual marriage. And he's saying, hey, if you're looking to me to say, don't murder, or don't steal, or don't kidnap, or don't kill Jews, or don't own blacks, or don't be a pervert, or don't sell child pornography, you're looking to the wrong person. Why? Because I get the support of the Christian right in America. And the Christian right says I don't have to care about right and wrong. I only have to be faithful to the process. So Antonin Scalia said anyone who thinks the country's most prominent lawyers reflect the views of the people, they need a reality check. He's speaking to the New England School of Law students and faculty at a banquet this past Wednesday night, two nights ago. And so the Supreme Court justice said that he said that judges in the courts are not responsible regarding issues like abortion. And that then adds credibility to the report we got that Scalia spoke at Pepperdine University recently, and a lawyer friend of ours, I won't tell you where this lawyer works because he's sort of undercover, but a lawyer friend of ours said that Scalia spoke at Pepperdine University and said the judge simply upholds the law. He doesn't make any moral decisions. And so one of the students went to the podium, went to the microphone in the audience and asked, well, what if you were a judge in Nazi Germany and the law said you could kill Jews? Scalia said, well, then I guess I would have been convicted at Nuremberg. That's what our Christian leaders have done to America. The body of Christ has become moral relativist. They're into situational ethics. So then Antonin Scalia, Texas had their sodomy law, remember? Outlawing homosexuality. In the U.S. Supreme Court, the Republican U.S. Supreme Court overturned that law and said homosexuality should be legal. Now, why did the Republican U.S. Supreme Court say that? Because they thought it was right. They weren't following the process. So Scalia was angry. He said they should have followed the process. And then he joked. He said, you know what? Personally, I believe that sexual orgies eliminate tension and ought to be encouraged. That's what he said. Your hero. If you listen to Jay Sekulow and the American Family Association and Focus on the Family and the Moral Majority and the 700 Club, you've been told that justices like Antonin Scalia are righteous, moral men and that there's hope because he's in office. Well, Scalia said, and I'm quoting now from the Associated Press, he spoke on Wednesday, March 15th, 2006, to the New England School of Law, to the students and the faculty. He joked that personally, he believes that, quote, sexual orgies eliminate tension and ought to be encouraged. He's just joking, right? He's joking. And he said, judges are not qualified to determine whether something is moral or not. So if you're going to come to us and say it's wrong to kill Jews, it's wrong to rape women, it's wrong to sodomize children, it's wrong to slaughter unborn children, you're coming to the wrong people because it's not our job. It's not my job. It's not my job. You think Scalia believes in a God or that he's going to stand before the Lord on Judgment Day? Well, if he really does, he's a fool to think that he could be a governing official and completely divest himself of any concern of right and wrong. And if we're shocked that a prominent Catholic like that can hold that position, don't be shocked. Because think of any national Christian leader you can think of that has mentioned the name Samuel Alito or John Roberts or Antonin Scalia, and they utter them as though they're revered names. And they approve of these judges when they render immoral decisions as long as they're following the process. That's a problem. Here at Bob and Your Live, we're going to figure out what is the best way to expose this and get more and more Christians to realize that our national leaders have lost their way. They've become moral relativists. They no longer have loyalty to God and His Word. They've replaced that loyalty with a loyalty to the process. And Jesus warned, you cannot have two masters. We'll be back right after this.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn the Jesus app.
Tony, what happened to you? Boy, Tony was playing. He had his whole band there in the corner of the control room. And they just took a break. What is it, union or what? Union break? Right at 5:35 exactly? Huh. We're not going to pay him all that money anymore. Tony Funderburk, who does our opening music and closing music. In fact, he has a CD called Do Right. Do Right and Risk the Consequences. Tony has recorded that commercial for us. And anyway, Tony was telling you about our products. And there are two ways to find out what we have to offer here at Bob and Yart Live. One is our catalog. And you could get that by just calling us, 800-8-N-YARTS. That's 1-800-836-9278. Another way is to go to our website at kgov.com. Now, I'll give you a quick overview. I had a debate with an atheist on Does God Exist? It's 170 pages. It's a blast. It's 10 rounds. And it's called Does God Exist? Bob and Yart versus Zaketh, Battle Royale 7. And that debate, people from around the world, they search for debates on Does God Exist? They find it, and they just love it because it's so neat. We follow 10 different lines of evidence to show the overwhelming proof that God exists. And then there's another debate. It's on the future. Is the future settled or open? What is it? Is the future settled or open? Last week, we had a guy who's been studying the Bible. Oh, this was a few weeks ago. He's been studying the Bible for 40 years. And he came to Denver Bible Church, and he was really into one specific theological issue. He had his own little doctrinal idiosyncrasy, and boy, was he into it. And I asked him questions about the overview of the Bible, and he was really unsure. He didn't know. But for 40 years, he'd been studying this one thing, and boy, was he an expert on it. But he really didn't know what the Bible said about the biggest and most important things. And so I remember asking him a question. I asked him, is God able to change the future? If God wants to. And remember, we're doing a commercial right now. Is God able to change the future? And he thought about it. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, what is going to happen in the future? Is God able to change anything that is going to happen? And he said, no. And what was I supposed to say? I said, wrong answer. Wrong answer. You love the Lord. You study his word. But you've managed to spend 40 years with the Bible, and you don't know God, you don't know that he's alive, that he's powerful, and that God is able to do things and to change the future. God is not a slave to the rest of eternity, that he's just forced to just watch it. So Battle Royale 7 was Does God Exist? Battle Royale 10, that was a gem. Is the future settled or open? And if you're not sure of this, what it says is that you're not sure what God is like because God is alive. And so we had this debate. It's a 10-round moderated debate. How many pages? It's a mammoth debate. And it was against a professor who works for D. James Kennedy in Florida, Professor Samuel Lamerson, on the future. Is the future settled or open? The pagan Greeks, they believed the future was settled, that even God could not change the future. And Augustine, who's the most influential Christian theologian, he was obsessed with Neoplatonic philosophy, and he ported that into Christianity. And he said, you know what? Above everything, above righteousness, above right and wrong, whether God is responsible for filth and perversion and sin or not, the one thing is that nothing could ever change. That's the ultimate truth of reality. And that's bunk, because God is alive and God the Son became flesh. So that's another of our resources. 245 pages, Battle Royale 10. And so that's two. Does God Exist? Battle Royale 7. You get from us at Bob and Your Life for $19.95. And is the future settled or open? Bob and Yard debates Dr. Samuel Lamerson from D. James Kennedy's ministry down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And what a debate it is. It's really fun. And if you like the Bible, you're interested, you're curious, did God predestine, like, you know, pimples? When your daughter is 16 years old, you're having a party for her, and she has a pimple on her nose. Did God give her that pimple, or was it what she ate that day? Right? How do we understand all this? So it is just so much fun. So if you call us at 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, we could send you our catalog, or you go online to KGOV, KGOV.com. And you could look, just click on the top right of the website. It's shop online, get the Bob and Yart Live resources, and you'll see we have videos, fabulous videos. Mount Moriah, Evidence for the Resurrection, God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment, The Plot, a 330-page overview of the whole Bible. You'll love that. Grasping the overview of the Bible is the key to its details. And a study in Revelation in two volumes. I mean, that study, that someday I'll tell you the story of that study. I'll tell you what a detective in Indiana said about that Bible study. He was talking to a prosecutor. Detective asked the prosecutor, I'll tell you the story right now. It's so interesting. The Christian detective goes into the office of a Christian prosecutor. So they both work in the same county government. And the detective says to the prosecutor, "So what are you doing at church these days?" And the prosecutor says, "We're studying the book of Revelation." And the detective says, "No, you're not." The prosecutor's like, "What do you mean, no, we're not?" He said, "What are you doing at your church?" The prosecutor said, "We're studying the book of Revelation." The detective said, "No, you're not." And the prosecutor said, "Why do you keep saying that? We've been studying it for a year." And the detective said, being a detective, he said, "Do you understand the book of Revelation?" And the prosecutor said, "No." And the detective said, "You're not studying it. I don't know what you're doing, but you're not studying it." So the prosecutor said, "Well, what do we do?" And the detective said, "You got to listen to the Bob and Yart Live series on Revelation." And the prosecutor said, "Well, how do I get it?" And the detective said, "I'll loan you the first volume." And a week later, the prosecutor called the detective and said, "I need volume two. I listened to volume one twice. This is really good." So you might, if you're interested in the end times, you might want to call us. But there's so much before that, right? The plot covers the whole Bible. Mount Moriah is the evidence for the resurrection. God and the death penalty helps open 100 open doors when you want to witness to people about criminal justice. So give us a call, 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. All right, so Antonin Scalia, one of the heroes of the Christian conservative movement in America, one of the heroes, and he's a pig. He's a pig. He doesn't deserve respect. He doesn't know right from wrong. He's not qualified to be a judge over a block party. He's not qualified. Why not? Because if a bunch of teenagers in the block party said, "Hey, Tony, we're going to have an orgy. What do you think?" He'd say, "Well, it'll release tension." He's not qualified to be a judge over a block party, and almost all of our Christian leaders have been enamored by him and by Clarence Thomas and by John Roberts and by Samuel Alito. And something that these men have in common is that they're into situational ethics, practically moral relativist. And for those who say they believe in God, they're even worse than an atheist who does the same thing. Because they might say, "Hey, I'm Catholic or I'm Christian. I'm Catholic or I'm Christian, but you know what? God doesn't care how I rule. And if there is do not murder in the Ten Commandments, and then they ask me, is it right or wrong to kill unborn children? I'm going to say, well, that has nothing to do with right or wrong. It has nothing to do with whether the child has a right to life. It has nothing to do with whether our Creator endowed us with the right to life, which is inalienable, which means you can't even give it away if you want it to. It only has to do with the process. And I am totally loyal to the process, and that's why all the major Christian leaders in America approve of me, and that makes me feel good about myself. And when I lay down at night, I could get a good night's sleep, because if I rule to legitimize perversion, adultery, stealing, murder, homosexuality, child pornography, which they did, right, recently, the Republican U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of the child porn industry recently. When I give those rulings, I know that the Christian leaders in America approve of me because they say I'm following the process. And right and wrong doesn't matter because they're really into separation of church and state. And they've separated the two so far that it doesn't even matter that God said do not murder. They approve of us when we rule to keep murder legal. Ha! It's a lot of power, I feel, as a Supreme Court justice. And I love it that the Christian leaders applaud me. You know, I've been tending toward becoming a flat-out moral relativist because ever since I became a lawyer, I really don't know right from wrong any longer. But now it turns out it doesn't matter right from wrong. It's irrelevant to being a judge. It's irrelevant. And here's what God's word says in Exodus chapter 18. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public, so this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. All right, Exodus. That's the second book in the Bible written by Moses. He wrote five books as inspired by the Holy Spirit. Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments. You know, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not commit perjury. Those are the four of the Ten Commandments that form the foundation for a criminal justice system. If you're interested in that, you could read all about it at our website. Just go to kgov.com, click on shadowgov.com. They're both ours. Or go directly to shadowgov.com and read the criminal code that we have there. Anyway, Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments. Back up two chapters. And Moses, he's the leader of the nation, and he's trying to figure out this criminal justice difficulty. And so here is the counsel that he puts into effect. Moses, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth. That's in verse 21, Exodus 18, 21. Verse 23, do this thing, and then you will be able to endure. So it's vital for the security of a nation that they have judges who fear God. Select able men, such as fear God, men of truth. You need to find men who fear God. That's the beginning of wisdom. And men who know the truth, that do not murder is not negotiable. You have to know that. Be qualified to be a judge. But our Christian leaders have sold us out to a legal positivist humanist philosophy that says there is no moral anchor. You just have to follow the process. And if you follow the process, then that's called justice. So we approve of Samuel Alito, who voted as a federal judge to keep legal partial birth abortion because he was following the process. The Ten Commandments? Forget that. We're Christians. Forget it. We're Christians. We believe in the process. Oh, the ACLU wants separation of church and state? You know, we used to be against that until it came to the issue of murder. And then we realized, hey, with separation of church and state, we could still support our favorite judges. So when Samuel Alito votes to kill unborn children, we could say, we being who? Gary Bauer, president of the Family Research Council, runs for president as a Republican in the primary, the pro-life Christian conservative, longtime friend and associate of Dr. James Dobson. And Gary Bauer said about Samuel Alito that when Alito voted to keep legal partial birth abortion, he ruled exactly as a good judge should do because he was following the process. So, hey, we're Christian leaders, and we were against the separation of church and state until when it was dealing with superficial issues like In God We Trust and our money. And we thought, you know, we're going to oppose that separation of church and state stuff because we like In God We Trust on our money. I don't know why. Maybe the Christians think they'll get more of it if it says In God We Trust. But then the separation of church and state thing that the humanists and the atheists and the liberals and Hollywood and the homosexuals and Hillary have been promoting, all of a sudden, out of the blue, out of nowhere, it became really appealing to us because we liked Judge Priscilla Owen. We liked her. And we liked Judge John Edwards, and we liked Samuel Alito, you know, for political reasons. They go along with our judicial philosophy, but they kept doing these things like saying that they would kill the innocent if the process required it. And some of them, like Priscilla Owen, she voted to kill Baby 10 as a Texas Supreme Court justice. And Samuel Alito voted to keep legal partial birth abortion in New Jersey and a half dozen other horrendous pro-abortion decisions, all in the last 10 years. And we thought we'd have to oppose them because they were supporting murdering the innocent. But then it struck us. Separation of church and state. You know, the ACLU, they had something all along. We thought they only wanted to take God's name off the money. And we put our foot down. But when it came to murdering the innocent, and when it came to promoting Republican conservative politics, we realized we could throw the church right out the window. Separation of church and state. Our judges could ignore God. In fact, that's what we want them to do. We want them to be true to the process. We want them to be strict constructionists, original intent. We want to know what their judicial philosophy is, but we don't want them to fear God or know the truth. We want them to be loyal to the process. And then we will approve of them. And am I making all this up? I must be making all this up. Here at Bob and Yurt Live, I got to be making all this up because this is the Twilight Zone. There's no way that the ACLU could be trying to get God's name, the word God, off our money. And the Christian leaders are angry. And then the Christian leaders approve of judges who throw God right out of their thinking and violate do not murder. And the Christian leaders say, separation of church and state. Come on, get with the program, Bob and Yurt Live. Get with the program, Bob. Join the process. The process is sickening. The process requires people to give their ultimate loyalty to man's rule. And yeah, man rule, just like fathers and mothers are in authority over their children. And if those parents do evil, they sin. And God will judge them, and their sin will find them out. And when governments do evil, you know what Hugh Hewitt says? Hugh Hewitt, number one Christian talk show host in America. Call-in talk show host? Hugh Hewitt, being a Harvard-educated lawyer, which means we wouldn't let a daughter marry him. If we had a daughter and she wanted to marry him and he was a Harvard-educated lawyer, we would say, honey, we love you. We would never speak to you again if you marry him. He is not worthy of you. He is not only a lawyer, he went to Harvard, which means he doesn't know right from wrong. He's obsessed with politics and the process. So anyway, you know what he says about abortion? In fact, his belief would cover a lot more than abortion. He says that abortion cannot be murder because it's legal. That's his argument. Abortion can't be murder because it's legal. So, Hugh Hewitt, is it possible for a democracy to murder anyone, for the government, if they're following their own rules? Is it impossible? If any democracy slaughters the innocent by their own laws, is it impossible for a democracy, a government, or governing officials to murder anyone? Is that impossible? No, it's not impossible. Any government, like, for example, in Germany, how did Hitler take power? How did he take power? Did he take a gun and go kill the king? No, there was the Weimar Republic. The Weimar Constitution introduced a democracy to Germany. And Hitler came to power through the democratic process. He got the same percentage of the vote about that Bill Clinton got. He didn't get a majority. He got a plurality. And so Hitler came to power democratically, and he became the chief judge, and he changed all their laws so that his word was law. And then there were hundreds, thousands of judges who upheld the German law because they said it was the law and it's our job. And we can't overrule the Supreme Court. And those judges and lawyers, we prosecuted at Nuremberg and we convicted. And some of those lawyers we sentenced to death, as we did other officials in Germany. And all of the lawyers and all of the judges who were convicted should have been put to death, all of them. But only some lawyers and others were put to death. And so we've reached a point in America where our Christian leaders take up the Nazi defense at Nuremberg that says it was our job. We were only following orders. It's precedent. We were judges. We can't make the law. We just got to uphold the law. And so our Christian heroes in America would have been the Nazis who slaughtered the Jews in Germany. And if you don't think so, you are naive. Because Americans are being slaughtered today. And we have conservative heroes of the people and of our Christian leaders who are approved of when they slaughter the innocent. They're approved of. So the next time you hear Jay Sekulow praise Samuel Alito or John Roberts or Antonin Scalia, you have to realize that these men are against the notion that right and wrong should prevail in our courts. They're against that fundamental notion. They're against the notion that judges should fear God and know the truth. They have sold all of that out for humanism in the belief that man's process, the side deal that we made called the Constitution, that that side deal takes precedent over God's do not murder. And if you buy into that, you're sinning. You're sinning. It's a sin. So we need to know God better. God is real. This ain't no dress rehearsal. God is real. The things we do and our ideas have eternal consequences. Eternal consequences. So, hey, stay tuned to Bob and Yurt Live if you can, if you would. Read your Bible this weekend. Go to church. Can you find a good church? Go to one where they bring their Bible to church. All right? Hey, and we'll be back next week, Lord willing, and check out kgov.com.